This program is brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com.
Welcome to Inside Out Weight Loss. I'm your host, Renee Stevens, and together we're accessing and adjusting the control panel of your mind-body-spirit system, bringing ease and joy to your weight loss journey and fullness to the rest of your life. Inside Out Weight Loss addresses the causes of your weight struggle. In other words, we address the reasons that it's a struggle in the first place. And you know what I mean by a struggle, don't you? The constant battling with yourself, the feeling like you should be doing something that you don't want to do or you aren't doing enough of. Inside Out Weight Loss allows you to change all of that from a very deep place. And when changes come from that deep place, the behaviors become easy. Today we have a very special program for you. For the first time in Inside Out Weight Loss history, we have a special guest. Jenna LaFlamme is the director of the Jenna Wellness Center and published health columnist. And as a weight loss coach, she helps her clients reclaim their bodies and their self-confidence without dieting or deprivation. A certified holistic health counselor, accredited by the American Association of Drugless Practitioners, Jenna is a graduate of the Institute for Integrative Nutrition in New York City. She's been featured in Glamour, Pilates Style, and on the Discovery Health Channel. Jenna's career in the healing arts began 11 years ago during her first visit to India, touched by the message that the fulfillment we seek already resides within us rather than in the attainment of external needs and wants. Jenna launched into focused study of nutrition, yoga, and meditation, where she experienced their power firsthand and her life was transformed. Jenna helps busy women lose weight to have the body of their dreams through pleasure and body wisdom. Welcome, Jenna.
Thank you, Renee.
I'm so glad to have you here. And the reason, Jenna, that I wanted to have you on the show today is that I've been so impressed with your pleasure-based approach to wellness, to weight loss, and nutrition. And I thought that you had a lot to offer the Inside Out Weight Loss listeners. One of the things that I'm really curious about, Jenna, is you make a distinction between what you call masculine and feminine approaches to weight loss. Can you explain what you mean by that?
The masculine strategies for weight loss are pretty much all we ever hear about in the media, your program being an exception to the rule. And they're all about pushing the body, pushing, prodding, shoving. There's a certain level of aggression, and it's pretty cerebral. For example, calorie counting, counting points, makes us feel like we're living inside some kind of spreadsheet. Dieting is basically deprivation and restriction.
That's right.
It's pretty aggressive. Diet pills, lethargy, punishing exercise. These I would all lump together and call them the masculine strategies for weight loss.
So the masculine approach is about deprivation. It's about counting. I would add to that that it's very linear in that it's goal-oriented. So then what's the feminine approach?
Firstly, on the masculine approach, it sounds like it would work.
Yes.
It sounds very logical. It sounds like it should work. Mm. And it, when it doesn't work for people, they end up feeling that it must be their fault that it hasn't worked. And I want to say, no, there is a system. Even though we're buying it en masse, there's a flaw. So if it hasn't worked for you, rest assured, there is a better way. And that is what I call the feminine strategies for weight loss. Shall I share about them?
Yes. Tell us more about the feminine strategies for weight loss.
So pleasure is certainly one of them, Renee mentioned. For example, when we truly have pleasure in our life, then food takes, it's not all the emphasis on food to give us the pleasure that we need. It's spread around the different aspects of life. Furthermore, when we actually have pleasure with food, our body knows when to stop and when we're full and when we've had enough. And the irony is that when we're binging, and I say that out of experience, I binged a good 10 years, Renee, we think that we're having the binge for pleasure. But if we really have an honest conversation with any parent and say, were you really having pleasure throughout all of that? They'll shake their head and say no. I don't know how early in the piece the pleasure cuts out, but when stress comes in, be it for any reason, including shame about body, about food you're eating, about binging, then we're desensitized to pleasure, and we need to eat more to get the same amount.
Yeah, you know, that's really interesting you should mention that, Jenna. I know in my own experience when I used to binge, I binged because ostensibly I wanted to have the release of it, and I think you're right, there's a almost like a false promise of pleasure. You expect it to be a release, you expect it to be good, but then it doesn't deliver. And in my case, it was really about numbing out. It was really about trying to numb out pain I was feeling, emotional pain typically, about something else in my life, in the day, pain of not being what I thought I should be or whatever it is. And then really the binging served to numb me out. And the good thing about numbing out is that you don't feel pain, but the problem with it is that you numb out the pleasure too, so you don't get any pleasure.
Absolutely.
So, Jenna, the feminine approach involves pleasure, and the question is, of course, how can someone who's caught in that cycle create more pleasure in their lives? How can they get out of that and really come to that place of appreciating and enjoying good food?
I'll give you a metaphor to answer that. Imagine I was talking to a friend. I needed to talk to a friend. And I came down to you, and I know you would never do this, but let's pretend you weren't really listening.
Yes.
You were doing your Facebook updates. You were checking your text messages. Oh, a little bit of email. Pick up the phone. I would walk away feeling completely dissatisfied and that I needed to speak to another friend. So same thing goes with food.
Yes.
When we sit down to eat, but we eat very quickly, we inhale the food, so to speak. We may have eaten plenty of food, but our body says, I didn't see anything, I didn't smell anything, I didn't taste anything, I'm still hungry.
Yes.
And so we need to eat more. And most people who feel they have an overeating problem, it's actually not. It's just that they're not really eating or eating. So then what to do about that? To begin by slowing down. You're at the table. Perhaps the panic is coming on. Take a few deep breaths. That automatically actually tricks the body into thinking that it's time to relax, even if you're feeling stressed. Just the deep breathing will do that, whereas the shallow breathing will tell your body, oh, alert, alert, stress. So slow down and then start to notice. Wow, what does this food look like on the plate? What does this food smell like? What does this food really taste like? What does it feel like? Let me roll it around my mouth a little bit. And then you'll start to get so much satisfaction and sensory input from that. As if the opposite of you not paying attention to me, as if you were lavishing attention upon me, I'd walk away from the meeting feeling amazing. Same thing, if you lavish the attention on food, you will feel amazing.
Yeah. So, Jenna, one of the questions I have about this is, I know you did this in your own life because you were a binger, as you said, for 10 years, and you made this transition. Now, did you make this transition in India where you were really able to check out from everything else and check into your body, or did you make it in your busy life? And if you didn't make it in your busy life, how can you advise people who are living their busy lives? You meet plenty of them in New York City, I'm sure, you in fact being one of them. How do we make that shift to slow down, to breathe, to taste, smell, and really appreciate the food that we're eating?
I actually did make that switch in my busy life. In India, I certainly laid the groundwork. But it was while I was in New York City,
studying nutrition and studying metabolism that the pieces came together.
Mm.
I started giving my myself good, wholesome food. Again, that's another piece of the puzzle. If the food you're putting in is devoid of nutrients,
yes,
if it's all sugar and junk, your body will say, well, I didn't get anything.
Yeah,
I didn't get the nutrients I needed.
Mm.
So I learned to give myself that good nutrition. I take a moment to eat slowly. And the irony about fast food is that we're learning to make food fast, but without any stir.
I'm sorry, say that again. We're learning to make what?
We've learned to make food faster.
Yes.
In terms of fast food.
Yes.
And I can whip up some healthy food pretty fast.
Yes.
But my body doesn't know how to digest it any faster.
Yes, that's right. That's right. In fact, I read some recent research that said, on average, they've studied this, it takes only an extra 10 minutes to prepare your own meal rather than to get what's supposed to be fast food.
Amazing.
Yeah, yeah. And I think in some cases it can actually be faster if you have strategies, well, at least like I do. I make something big over the weekend, and then my family eats it throughout the week with maybe just the addition of a fresh salad, for example.
Excellent.
So, Jenna, you specialize in working with busy women in New York City, of which you're one of them. And what do you recommend for them, people who really are in their lives? What would be the first steps that they could take? Say it's a busy woman who's used to grabbing processed food, eating in fast food restaurants, you know, maybe just take the worst possible scenario. What would you say would be the first steps to transform her diet and her relationship with food?
The first step is to give yourself time to eat when you are eating. Even if you're busy, even if you only have 10 minutes for lunch, take those 10 minutes and dedicate them to the food, to the process of eating, to getting all the sensory input, as opposed to multitasking, reading the New York Times while you're eating lunch. Just give yourself that time. And when you're thinking of giving it to yourself, remember that yourself is composed not just of your mind, but also of your body. And that your body's not that interested in the New York Times. Or really what your body wants is to have a good lunch.
Yes.
So start to think about having a more equitable relationship between your body and mind, as if they were lovers.
Yeah.
One lover getting all the attention and the other getting neglect.
Yes.
But both really being treated as precious.
I like that. So treating it, your body and your mind as two important partners, perhaps, or lovers in this relationship that you have with the food that you're nourishing your body with.
Yeah. One of my best friends, she holds me over the coals a little bit when I would answer the phone and I'd say, oh, I'm really busy, can't talk, and go.
Yes.
And she would say to me, even if you're really busy, it doesn't take any more time to say, hi, great to hear from you. You know, I'm actually really busy right now.
Yeah.
Can we talk later?
Mm-hmm.
It took the same amount of time. So same thing with your food. Okay, you only have 10 minutes. You only have 15 minutes. You only have 20 minutes. Can you bring that tone of reverence, of caring to the eating experience, letting your body enjoy, rather than having that gruff tone like I had on the phone with her?
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things that was really funny, I ran a group program years ago where I did a taste test with the participants, and I had organic whole grain breads and fruits and vegetables, and then I had the processed or the conventional stuff, and we ran a taste test where these items were side by side, and I was so excited. I knew that they were all going to just fall in love with the organic and the whole grain things that I had to offer, and they'd all realize the error of their ways. So we do the taste test, and guess what happened?
What happened?
Everybody preferred the conventional processed crap. It was terrible. So I really had to scramble in that class, and it was a big lesson for me
about how our taste buds have been desensitized to the subtle flavors of natural foods. Because if you've read, I don't know if you've checked out Kessler's Overcoming Overeating, but he talks about how manufacturers put more and more salt and sugar in our food so that we will eat more of it, because those substances have been proven to cause us to desire to eat more. And on top of that, there are plenty of chemicals and other things that are engineered to get us to want to continue eating, so we buy more food and eat it. So have you noticed this desensitization, and have you noticed any of this in your clients, and any ideas on how people can re-educate their palates?
That's a great question. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, when we slow down and we... I'll say that again, there was a horn in the background. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, when we slow down and we chew more, something pretty cool happens. Is that when we chew the carbohydrates, they break down from complex carbohydrates to simple carbohydrates in our mouth, and there's more sweetness, there's a lighter flavor.
Mm.
That's one really good way to bring the flavor out of the food, is to chew.
Yes.
Digestion does begin in the mouth. There are all kinds of enzymes in saliva that aren't in the stomach, and it's really doing your stomach and your whole digestive system a favor if you're willing to chew.
Yes. Yeah. So that's a great point, is that digestion begins in the mouth. In fact, I've actually heard that it begins when we start thinking about food, as we start salivating when we see food and think about it. And one of the reasons is so that we can prepare the mouth to begin to break down the food and really appreciate it and fully digest it. So slowing down and chewing, which amazingly is something that a lot of people don't do very much of.
Mm.
We'll just, gulp down the food with very little chewing, which can lead to indigestion and all sorts of problems, poor nutrient absorption, and so on. So we slow down, we chew our food, and how long do you think it takes to make this transition, to move from being... And maybe this isn't a fair question, maybe it varies for each person that you work with, but how long do you think it takes to really make this kind of transition, to begin to actually prefer and get more pleasure out of your food and start to prefer the healthier, organic, minimally processed foods?
I don't think, in, as you were saying, the masculine is the more linear and the feminine is perhaps more of a spiral.
Yeah.
I think there are multiple levels. One is the taste level. And on that note, another angle is that there are 5 or 6 flavors. There's sweet, salty, sour, which are the ones we mostly know about. There's bitter, which is the taste of dark leafy greens, obviously coffee. Astringent, which is the taste of... a not quite ripe banana, that dry taste that puckers the mouth, and then spicy.
Mm.
And if we realize that, there's all 6 flavors, they all have different benefits to the body. And the one that we often neglect, is bitter, is the one that is least popular, I think.
Mm.
And each taste has a message to the body. Sweet taste says, eat more. And salty, eat more.
Mm.
That's enough. You're satisfied. So when we start to put more greens on the plate without entering into portion control, again, a masculine strategy control, naturally end up feeling, I'm satisfied. I've had enough.
Mm.
And it's one of the reasons some European culture had a green salad at the end of the meal. It ties it all together. They know that's enough.
They know that's enough. Mm.
So here, we're not going against the head when we pay attention to the body, because it can be very useful to have an intellectual grasp on, there is a bitter taste, and it has a benefit. And let me get used to this foreign flavor, see if I can feel that benefit. And that can be a way of easing in.
Hmm. Fantastic. So really appreciating the 5 different flavors in the food and appreciating their unique benefit for your body.
Yeah. So then the reinforcing point about how long does this take, once we start to appreciate the flavors, then we start to feel the benefits physically.
Yeah.
More energy, clearer mind, noticing the pants are a bit looser. Mm. These kinds of things quickly become positive reinforcement for healthy eating.
Mm. And so what about exercise for weight loss?
Definitely an important part of it. And here, again, what's important is that it's exercise that gives you pleasure. One of my favorite case studies is by my mentor, Mark David, who spoke about a woman who came to him with legitimately 15 pounds to lose. Mm-hmm. She was eating pretty well, and she was training for a marathon,
mm-hmm.
doing tons of exercise, but the weight wouldn't budge. So he tweaked her diet. He added in this, he added in that. Oh, no changes. And she was getting really frustrated. And then it occurred to him, hey, do you like running? And, oh, yes, she says. Mm-hmm. No, really, do you like running? Yep. He wasn't buying it. Do you like running? And she confesses, no, I actually hate running. The only reason I'm doing this is because if the marathon training won't make 15 pounds go away, then nothing will.
Mm-hmm.
So what was happening was that when she was running, her body was going into a stress state.
Mm.
And in a stress state, there's a whole metabolism that is the enemy of weight loss.
Mm.
The stress hormones, including cortisol, go up. Cortisol's message to the body is to boost insulin,
mm-hmm.
and insulin's message to the body is to store fat.
Mm.
So she, although she was diligently running, eating well, was not able to lose weight because her body was stressed out and in the mode to store fat, not release fat.
Mm, what a great story, Jenna, about actually stress induced through exercise as opposed to exercise being a stress reliever, which is how we normally think of it. And that actually causing a release of cortisol and getting in the way of her releasing fat. I know my conclusion after running a marathon and doing all the training is that you cannot outrun your fat.
Yeah.
You can't outrun it, which is what I tried to do. And really, as you say, it's about slowing down and appreciating, which doesn't actually necessarily take any more time in your schedule.
So what she discovered was, well, what do you like?
Yeah.
Oh, I like dancing. Mm-hmm. I like yoga. I like Pilates. But she didn't think that would be enough to lose the weight.
Mm.
But it turned out when she dedicated herself to those things, she lost the weight no problem.
Beautiful, beautiful story. Jenna, we're coming to the end of the show now, and I know that you have so many great resources available for the listeners. I know that some of your recipes are really wonderful, and I also know that you have a special free bonus available to the listeners of this episode, and I think it's called The 4 Unexpected Ways to Flatten Your Belly Fast. Can you tell our listeners where they can get that?
Yes, Renee. If you'd like to hear more about these strategies, the Pleasurable Feminine Strategies for Weight Loss, I've put together this 4-part audio for you. And you can get that at my website, which is jennawellness.com, jennawellness.com/free audio. And I just set that up today, especially for Renee's listeners.
Great. So jennawellness.com/free audio. And while they're there, they can check out your recipes and all the other great tips and resources you have available for them. Terrific.
Absolutely.
Great. Anything else you want to say before we close today, Jenna?
No, I would say remember that let's say it again. I would say remember that pleasure is not nutritionally redundant. We think it is. We think pleasure will be the enemy of weight loss. But in fact, the deeper you go into it, there is more and more science to show that having pleasure with your meal is absolutely necessary for the absorption of the nutrients and for satisfaction. And without the satisfaction, why is life worth living?
Exactly, exactly. So who knew? We all thought it was deprivation and discipline, and it turns out it's pleasurable indulgence that's going to make us slim and happy. How about that?
Great.
Fantastic. Thanks, Jenna, so much for joining us today. I'm delighted to have had you on the show.
Thank you.
This is your host, Renee Stevens, and I am on a mission to eradicate the weight struggle from the planet, enabling you to develop and share your abundant soul's gift. Join me as we evolve the world by evolving ourselves. That brings us to the end of our show today. Take good care.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.